And through a series of phone calls, which were magical, I was talking to a friend who happened to have a friend whose husband was the owner of this food magazine in Bologna, and he had a friend who knew someone's son, and that son is the guy who I interviewed. That connection, it was just crazy how that happened. And that's how all of them happened.
Hi, this is Albert Grande from PizzaTherapy.com and LegendsOfPizza.com. I have a really exciting interview for you today. Recently, I got an email from Sky Dylan Robbins. And here's what she said. Dear Albert, my name is Sky, and I am a filmmaker from New York. I recently returned from a year in Italy where I made a feature-length film divided into 12 short episodes on the spirituality of food. The last episode on La Vera Pizza Napoletana features Naples' most expert pizzaioli, and it is complete. I thought you'd be interested in seeing it and putting it on Pizza Therapy. Well, I watched that episode from Sky, and I was blown away. It is a fantastic film. It shares the passion of pizza from Naples. Sky has a true gift of being able to show the spirituality of pizza on film. I knew that I had to interview her. And what follows is a fantastic interview with Sky where she explains how she got into filmmaking, how she got into Italy, and the whole reason behind her film, Un Americana in Italia. It is a fantastic film, and this is a very interesting interview. I know you're going to like it. This interview is sponsored by the Happy Italian Cookbook. You can find it at legendsofpizza.com/Italian. You can learn how to cook Italian food just like my Italian grandmothers. Go to legendsofpizza.com/Italian. Now, here's Sky.
Hi, this is Albert Grande from pizzatherapy.com and legendsofpizza.com. I have my friend Sky Dylan Robbins on the phone, and Sky recently completed a film called Un Americana in Italia. And it's all about her adventures in Italy. Sky, I got a very interesting autobiography about you, and I'd like to start there. It says okay. You are a gastronaut since birth. You were born at home and weighed on a food scale to determine your birth weight.
That is true.
You were raised on seaweed, steamed squash, and other wholesome foods until she popped the bubble of childhood and discovered the wonders the global gastronomic world beholds. She became the food critic of her high school newspaper and traveled the world, experiencing and delighting in all things edible. Sky moved from her native New York City to Chicago to attend a film school at Northwestern University. It was only natural that as a film and Italian major, she would spend her junior year abroad in Bologna, what many call the food capital of Italy, and made a foodimentary on the spirituality of food. Sky, you're talking my language. What is a foodimentary on the spirituality of food?
Well, a foodimentary I made up. It's just a word for a documentary on food. A foodimentary on the spirituality of food refers to this project that I made while I was in Italy for a year, in which I just traveled around Italy and talk to people of all socioeconomic classes and young people and old people, different positions in society, to get down to the root of what it is, why the world is so food-obsessed today. There are tons and tons of Food Network shows, and there are tons of food blogs, and people love reading about food. Why is our current society so food-obsessed? And it's because, I think, coming together and eating great food that has been cooked with love is something that doesn't just give you nourishment and give you that vitamin C, that vitamin D, and like allows you to live, but it allows you to live spiritually, and it's like a spiritual remedy to eat great food with great people.
So the food not only nourishes your body, but nourishes your soul.
Indeed.
That is fantastic. What an incredible thought and idea. And I have to tell you, I'm in total agreement with you. That sounds fantastic. You're an Italian major?
I am. I'm an Italian major and a film major and a sociology minor at Northwestern in Chicago.
How did you become interested in speaking Italian?
About 4 or 5 years ago, I went around Italy. I backpacked around Italy with about 10 other friends, and we landed in Milan, traveled all the way down to Sicily. It took us about 2 months, and we basically ate our way down there, but the people that I met along the way, the experiences that I had along the way, I felt at home. And there's this saying that when you're visiting college campuses and you just visit all these different ones, you know that you've come to the right one when you step on campus and it just clicks. And that really happened for me in Italy. And so when I got to college, I had to fulfill a language requirement for my film major. I chose Italian because of that summer backpacking experience. I guess it took off from there, and I just decided to become a double major. Here I am, you know?
And in the film, you speak Italian. Your Italian is excellent. Is it conversational Italian?
Freshman year and sophomore year, I took Italian in college, and it was at a basic level. And then when I got to Italy in September, I brought my camera and all my equipment with me, and I had the script and everything for Un Americano in Italia, but I chose not to start filming until about November because I wanted to make sure that my language skills got higher. And so in living with Italians and going to l'Università di Bologna, the University of Bologna, and taking classes in Italian, my Italian skyrocketed. And now I like to say that I'm fluent. About 3 years time span, that's pretty much what it took.
Tell me how you developed the script and how you decided to go ahead with that. Did it work itself out, or was it something you had planned well ahead in advance?
Well, Albert, I believe that everything happens for a reason, and that we're all on Earth for a purpose, and that the universe guides us to fulfill our mission, shall we say, in life. And it's magical the way the whole film developed, because when I got there, I had this idea of what I want to do. But the way I got my DP, my director of photography, the way I found my sound guy, and the fact the three of us clicked, and then finding the subject of each episode, it was just basically a snowball effect, because I found one person who knew this other person who knew this other person who introduced me to the Parmigiano Reggiano guy who introduced. So it was just like that. And I would shoot an episode, and then I would get back, and as I was editing it, I would write the script for the next one while calling other people to find out if I could get subjects for more episodes. And so it was just basically a constant work. But I would always have a script memorized and prepared before I went on location.
So you weren't filming off the top of your head. You had a script when you actually did the little vignettes, let's call them.
Right.
However, it sounds like you kind of tuned into the universe to let the universe create Un Americano in Italia. As you said, it's snowballing.
Yeah, and it's magical the way it all happened. Just the coincidences, so to speak, or rather not coincidences. It's just like thinking back, it's magical the way it all happened.
Do you think it had a lot to do with your own positive attitude, what we think becomes reality? In the back of your head, you knew this film was going to be completed.
Yeah, I definitely believe. I'm a strong believer that words are very powerful. I believe in mission statements, and that if I want something to be complete, I just get focused, and I know in my heart that it's going to be complete. I had like a personal statement that I would say to myself every day, especially when times were tough, and knowing in my heart that by the time I left Italy to go back to New York and help my parents move out of their home, I had to be home by June of 2010, and the film had to be finished. And so I just had faith, the powers that be, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, that I would be helped and that it would happen. And it did. Okay.
What I found most fascinating about your film, Sky, was the fact that you took these little vignettes and you really kind of dissected a piece of life. For example, tell me a little bit about the Bologna episode where you're talking about sausages and
right.
Mortadella.
This actually was a study abroad trip. My junior year from Northwestern, I knew that I wanted to study abroad. I decided on Italy, and I could have studied abroad in Rome. I could have studied abroad in Naples or Milan, but I wanted to go off the beaten path, and I wanted to go somewhere where there aren't any Americans, or not many Americans, because we're everywhere. And so I chose Bologna, and Bologna is where bologna, as we call it in America, comes from. And so from the beginning, I knew that I had to do an episode on that, but I could never really find the right person. And through a series of phone calls, which were magical, I was talking to a friend who happened to have a friend whose husband was the owner of this food magazine in Bologna, and he had a friend who knew someone's son, and that son is the guy who I interviewed. That connection, it was just crazy how that happened. And that's how all of them happened. But so I talked to this guy, Davide, David, in American, in English. And so his father's a little older of the not internet generation, shall we say. And he convinced his father. And so finally, I went to his house. There are a few shots in the episode of him looking at some pictures. That was really fun because it was just me, Davide, and his mom and his dad. And his dad is very prestigious, well-known mortadella maker. And so that was really magical. And we made appointments and we just shot it all. And the relatable chord is that we in America think of mortadella or bologna as this disgusting thing, but I wanted to show the world that Bologna, the city, is not Bolognese. People don't know what that is, that disgusting American food that some people eat. But it's a delicacy. And mortadella could be an appetizer that could cost, you know, 30 euros or 40 euros because it's just the way it's made and the craftsmanship that goes into that. It's just amazing.
Was this the episode where you're in a huge room with all these old guys sampling different meats?
Oh, yeah. It was that. Simone Deli, shall we say. They're known for their mortadella, but they also have over, I think it was over 200 or 300 kinds of prosciutto and comes from Italy. The father, Davide's father, wanted to show me how they carve that. And so you see him, you know, carving the prosciutto from the bone, which we Americans rarely see. Honestly, the profumo, as they say in Italy, the perfume of it is absolutely amazing. And you would never think that it was delicious and unbelievable. And to cut the prosciutto off the bone and eat it right there, I mean, very few people, especially Americans, get to eat that.
Yeah.
And it was unfathomably good. That was fun.
It looked like you were having a great time. Another great episode that I liked is the Bufala di Mozzarella episode. Kind of demystify mozzarella, because a lot of Americans, a lot of pizzerias, they're used to having mozzarella made from cow's milk. However, in Italy, Bufala di Mozzarella is made from buffalo's milk. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Even in Italy, there's a lot of mozzarella di latte, just plain mozzarella, cow's milk mozzarella. And then even there, it's more of a specialty, but way less common here, mozzarella di bufala. And so it's only made in, basically only made in Campana, in the Campana region, which is in the south, where they have these buffalo farms. And I visited probably two or three of them by now. And in the smaller buffalo farms, I mean, they treat these buffalo like they're guests staying at a hotel. They have these massage makers for the buffalo, these big, they almost look like car washers. And the buffalo love it. And they walk through and the bristles are moving on their back and the buffalo go, ooh, they love it. And the milk is cow's milk in comparison to buffalo milk. It has way less fat. Cow's milk has about 3% fat, and in comparison to buffalo milk, which has 9% fat. And so the fattiness and the creaminess, you taste it with every bite. And actually, in Italy, you're not supposed to eat buffalo mozzarella more than maximum 3 days after it's been produced. Meanwhile, here in America, it sits on the shelf for God knows, like a few weeks. People think it's good, but to go to Italy and to have a piece of buffalo mozzarella that's just taken out of the process, it's good. It's good.
And who knew that the buffaloes were treated so well?
Yeah.
They're honored guests in Italy.
Indeed. And rightfully so, because it's so good.
I have made pizza with it. It kind of melts. It's really a very
cool. Right. There's a different taste even, right?
It has a totally different taste. Yeah, it really does. Another fascinating vignette that I just love was the Caputo flower episode.
Uh-huh.
And Caputo is the Rolls Royce, the Maserati of flour. It is the best flour, without a doubt. And I think a lot of the best pizzaiola in America use Caputo exclusively. Can you tell us a little bit about going to the flour factory?
You're right that, you know, it's even in Italy, it's basically the best flour. And Jonathan Goldsmith, who's the owner of Spaccanopoli Pizzeria in Chicago, which is one of the best Neapolitan pizzerias in Chicago, from the first episode that I did ever, which sparked this whole project, I went to him and I did a little episode on his story and why he is so enamored with Italy and with Napolitano pizza. And so when I found out that he was coming to Italy for a few days in about February, he said, Sky, let's go to Il Mulino Caputo, which is the flour that I use, and it's the best flour. And I had no idea what this was at the time. And so I go there, and you're driving through Naples, and we got this little teeny car. It was me and Vincenzo and Alessandra, just the three of us, the camera crew, to drive through these little teeny streets, tons of people, tons of cars. It was a zoo. And then you finally go to the outskirts of Naples, and this humongous door opens, and we're in the car, and there are all these trolleys and humongous trucks with flowers on them going back and forth, and we weave our way into the loading dock, and we're in there. And then the door closes behind us, and the father, the owner of Molino Cabuto, comes out, greets us, and it was just wonderful. And we went upstairs and met all the people who worked in, and this guy who had to be, I'd say, I don't know, 80 or 90 years old, and he was working in the room and checking all the fans and all of the grinding things, and it's just really amazing talking to them. They just, hearing their story and how they've been here for, God knows, 50, 60 years, their whole lives are flour, and making sure that pizzaioli around the world have that flour to make good pizza and bread and pastries and everything else.
They understand that they are the standard of flour, correct?
They do.
Their quality product is just incredible.
Indeed. And in the interview with the president of Molino Cabuto, he said in Italian, he was like, you know what we say? We say, and then he switched to English, the Italian taste is different, you know? So they all know, and they've translated that phrase to English, and that is their motto. So they know it as a universal thing, that the Italian taste is indeed different.
I mean, the finest pizzaioli in the United States import Caputo flour, and I've heard many, many people talk about that is the, as I say, the standard of flour, and a lot of people feel that they cannot make pizza without Caputo.
Is there really a difference if you make it with regular flour versus that?
I think there is a difference. I think you can tell a difference. What I say about flour, too, and this has kind of been my standard, is that you use the kind of flour that tastes good to you, what
right.
tastes the best to you, and I can tell a difference. I don't know if other people can, but there's a marked difference, say, between regular flour that you would just get in a supermarket and Caputo flour. It's put it in a bowl. It just has a nicer texture, and so you really can tell a difference. So there are some also great American flours, too. King
yeah.
Arthur does a great job, and there are some other artisan flours that are just fantastic. One of my favorite episodes, Guy, has got to be your pizza episode, and to me, that was the crowning vignette of the whole thing. Can you talk about that, about going to see the pizzaioli?
Sure. Well, you know, antipasto, mozzarella di bufala, farina, flour, and pizza, napoletana, was all filmed actually in a period of 4 days. We made one large trip to Naples and the surrounding regions. In between, we had just done the antipasto, and we had just visited Mozzarella di Bufala, the various places that we filmed all these episodes at. And then on the last day, we went to all of these pizzerias. And to walk into Don Michele and see those pizzas being cooked in those humongous brick ovens, and those old guys or the young guys who were learning the pizzaioli doing it, it was just, it seemed right out of a movie, you know. But the passion that goes into it, and you can see in these people's eyes, they truly believe that this pizza is not just pizza. It represents Italy, it represents La Familia, love, passion. And to talk to Enzo Cocha about that, to talk to the guys at Di Matteo and Paolo, the guy who made me like stuff that amazing Napolitano street food, frittata di macaroni, in my mouth. They all had different sayings about Napolitano pizza, but it all came down to this pizza is much more than just flour and tomatoes and salt and olive oil. It's something much more.
Absolutely. And to me, that's the whole crux of your film, that it's more than just the ingredients that you throw together. Anyone can throw ingredients together. But when you put your spirit, your heart and soul into it, magic happens. Did you experience the magic of eating this pizza?
I did experience the magic of eating this pizza. I did. And especially to hear about what it was all about, and then these guys to make it for you, and then to just give it to you with this smile and say, go for it, and then to eat that. You feel the love transmitted through the pizza from the hands of these guys or girls, women, into you, and you genuinely feel their love and their passion.
What a fantastic concept. You feel the love transmitted from their hands through the ingredients to the final product. How did it taste, Guy?
Oh, man, Albert, it tasted good. It tasted, there are no words. There are no words.
Indescribable, then.
Yeah, indescribable. I probably had about 4 or 5 pizzas in one day. Each pizza totally different, but all of them fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
Each pizza tasted a little bit different, or different texture, different thickness.
Yeah, all different. Different. The cheese even tasted different. The crust and Zococha made it very differently from the way Paolo Mancini made it at Dom Di Matteo, Trianon. Every pizzaiolo has its own way of doing it, even though it all comes together as pizza Napoletana.
When there is a standard about Napoletana pizza, there are certain standards that they have to reach for it to be certified Neapolitan pizza.
Right.
But the taste was all a little bit different. I'm not going to put you on the spot, Sky, to say which one you like most. I'm sure they were all great.
They were.
Sky, tell me what you discovered with making your film. What was the big secret that was revealed through the spirituality of food?
It's interesting to see what a long way I've come. I guess just the whole experience of starting over a year ago and coming to where I am today, I learned so much and I grew a lot, and I learned a lot of different things about myself and about how to prepare for certain things and what not to do in certain situations and what to do in certain situations. There isn't exactly one thing that I learned, but I guess it was a confirmation of the fact that good food, as Jonathan said in the first episode, Jonathan Goldsmith, we live in a very isolated society. You know, we're always on our Blackberries. We're always on our computers. We communicate, at least people my age, instead of calling someone on the phone, you text them. It just also reaffirms the importance of having dinner together or just communing in all senses of the world. Italians have it down pat. Dolce far niente, the sweetness of doing nothing. And the Italians have that down pat. You know, we Americans rush around way more than they do. There's more fast food. There's less time of, like, being together with your family and sitting down at the dinner table and having home-cooked meals. And in Italy, that is a standard that you have to live by. And so in living in Italy for a year, to sit down and just relax and savor your food and use that food as a tool to be with other people is just something that I think needs to be done more, especially in America. I mean, around the world, but I learned a lot about that when I was living in Italy. So.
Well, fantastic. And Sky, you may not know this, but I will share this with you. Your film has already influenced lots and lots of people. I've gotten comments myself because I've talked about it on my website and blog, and a lot of people are moved by what you've had to say. And there's a lot of truth that you reveal through your film, and it comes through. And we're really looking forward to seeing the finished product. I loved what you said about the spirituality of food. The food nourishes the soul as well as the body. Just simply fantastic.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored and so happy that the message is coming across, because, you know, it isn't me that came up with this message at all, but I'm just the medium through which this needs to be revealed to the world. And I'm just glad that people are liking it and finding stuff in it, watching the film and taking stuff away from it that they can apply to their own lives. And I'm really grateful that that Italian message of spirituality food, I'm glad that that's getting across.
Sky, thank you so much for this wonderful interview. You have so much to offer. We really look forward to seeing your film, Un Americana in Italia. I want to thank you very much, Sky, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Albert. It was a pleasure. You too.
This is Albert Grande from legendsofpizza.com and pizzatherapy.com. I want to thank you very much for listening to this incredible interview with Sky Dylan Robbins. And I want to urge you to check out her film, Un Americana in Italia. It's a fantastic film, and anyone that has ever eaten will love this movie. This interview was sponsored by the Happy Italian Cookbook. You can find it at legendsofpizza.com/Italian. You can learn how to cook just like my 2 Italian grandmothers. These recipes are almost 100 years old. I want to offer them to you. I think you're going to really like it. It's called The Happy Italian Cookbook at legendsofpizza.com/Italian. This is Albert Grande from pizzatherapy.com saying, pizza on earth, goodwill to all. And check out The Happy Italian Cookbook at legendsofpizza.com/Italian.